anonymously.
Yes.
Dropped off money. The family has received those funds. And whatever you can do, if everybody do a little, nobody has to do a lot.
The movement continues.
What are some of the conditions in the jail that got people upset, like the living conditions on a day-to-day basis?
We'll come out of our cell at 11 o'clock in the morning. We'll get food and we'll get medication. So that shortens the time. Out of those 2 hours, we'll probably get an hour out and then we'll have to lock back down. And by lock back down, I mean we stay in our cell. We get fed in our cell. We don't come out of our cell at all. And that's pretty much the biggest problem. And they simply say that they're short staffed, but that's not enough because they knew that they were going to be short staffed. Like, this has been a problem for over 2 years now.
The marathon continues.
There's never been a better time to make change in the city of Milwaukee, starting with the youth. And we talked about the housing. Willie Hines, y'all boy Willie Hines, and they trying to change the leadership over there. We got our hands full, and it's not the time. But we got attorney B. Ivy Lamar on the lines right now, calling from the courthouse. How you doing, attorney B. Ivy Lamar?
Hey, what's going on, Tori? I'm good, man. Happy to be here.
Joining me on the lines, Dr. Umar Johnson. How you doing, brother, Dr. Umar Johnson?
Peace and Pan-Africanism, good brother, Black Power, to all my brothers and sisters in Milwaukee, Kenosha, Green Bay, Racine, and across the state of Wisconsin.
Yo, peace, King. I'm going to stand with you and walk with you, brother.
God bless you.
Because I think it's an important thing what you're doing, and you need to have the support of the community. Regardless if we live in these areas or not, it all affects us in one way or shape or form.
It's time for that action and all the smoke. This is the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association award-winning Tori Lowe Show on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and streaming live on YouTube.
Man, best show in the world, bro. You got the best show in the world. Hope you know that, man.
God bless you, brother. I appreciate that.
Big up, big up, big up to you both. Thank you so, so, so much. Tori, you spoke to my kids. Liz, you did too. But you spoke to my kids, and when I tell you both that they was talking about what we did earlier that morning, all day. That's literally what they was doing. They was talking about it all day.
How?
My son was just hollering, we're Tori. Like,
I wanted to make sure that I let you know that to hear a person and have a person like you in this community, the way that you are selfless, the way that you give, even when your cup is not even full, you are filling other people's cups. And that just inspires me to want to make sure that I help you the best way that I can by doing my part.
As always, my good brother, stay cool, stay calm, stay focused.
Now, live from the Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is the king of talk radio, Tori Lowe.
White people are gonna crack.
Justice Wisconsin, the truth, the most requested advocate in the state. 101.7 FM, the movement continues. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Milwaukee, stand up. It's Tori Lowe, the truth, from one to four. We about that action, so tap in and let's go. We want that justice, we want all the smoke. From Monday through Friday, trying to bring the city hope. Yeah, Tori Lowe, from one to four, Monday through Friday, let's go. We about that action from the block, and we ready, let's go. Tap in, and it ain't no holding back, we ready. 101.7 The Truth. Tori Lowe, Tori Lowe Show, live from American Family Insurance Studio at the Avenue, and I'm here for the action
and nothing but that action,
and I want all the smoke.
Who wants the smoke today?
Salute to all my brothers and sisters on the front lines. The marathon continues.
The movement continues.
How y'all doing out there in Radio Land? How's everybody doing in the chat? We got another powerful conversation for you today. So I'm going to need y'all to open up your ears, okay? How y'all doing out there in Radio Land? Who we got in the chat? We got S.C. Kawanda, Sincere Runny Ray Real Jeff, Not Really a City Girl, Sir Chance in the chat. I see you, Sir Chance. And we got Lori Patterson in the chat. Salute. Zaire Jones in the chat. Jeff.
Hey, look, we got another powerful conversation for y'all today. And I've been dealing with this situation. I just talked to the family. There was a woman in the city that was found unalive by a local grocery store. She was found unalive, and I've been in conversations with the family. I made a post about it 2 days ago because when they originally put this story out here, it could have been anybody. They didn't humanize the story. It was just a body found by Gallus, a grocery store for Titonia and Capitol. It was quick. It wasn't no real laid out what happened situation. And the family told me that they're starting to hear a lot of people in a conflict between what people were saying and what the police had told the family. So all they asked was if the police had any information on video about what happened to let the family see if their claims of that it wasn't any, you know, foul play, or if there was a situation where she unalived herself, if they had that, let them see it. Well, to this day, this happened on November 28th. This situation happened on November 28th. To this day, the family has not seen any video to kind of, you know, give them closure to the situation. Now, I got a Dear Tory Lowe letter that I want to read on the air, because this is something that, you know, it's been going on. A lot of people, this is how they reach out to me. They write me letters about what's going on in the community and what's going on with their family and how they need the community to help. And many times I read a lot of these letters over the years. I'll read a few of them on the air. But this is a situation where the family has an unresolved situation. And I just got finished talking to one of the family members. And at 2 p.m., hopefully they'll call in and kind of give us an update on what took place. But just to give you all background on the situation, I'll read you the Dear Tory Lowe letter. Once again, this is a sad situation. So, Dear Tory Lowe, hello, everyone. My name is LaShawn, and my family and I are searching for answers. On November 28th, my cousin's body was found in the bushes at Gallus, which is a local grocery store on Titonia and Capitol. There are rumors on Facebook that her body was thrown from a car. The police are giving us other information, and we request footage that they claim to have, but they refuse to allow the family to view it. So let me tell you who she was. Charlamagne Nixon, born 9/20/1987. She was a mother of two, a high school graduate, and a college graduate. She was not homeless. She stayed with her boyfriend, who lives in the area where the body was found. She was a happy, bubbly person who loved her family, and her family loved her. And we just want answers. Sincerely, LaShawn. Understand what I'm saying. This is a situation where all the police had to do was show video. And this would give the family closure on what took place. Now, I heard that the detective told the family that they called for them to view the video. And then when they called, he was on vacation. So, I mean, what is going on here? What is going on here? If the police have any video footage that can help this family, they should let this family see the video. Now, this reminds me of what happened in Brookfield. This is where the man was found hanging at the golf course. And they said that it was suicide. But yet, the family asked to see the video, if they have any video, just to make sure. You know, I'll tell you this. Closure is so important when you lose a loved one. And if you have, and this is what the police is supposed to do. If there's no investigation, if you claim it's a suicide, if you claim that this person took their own life, let the family see the video. How you came to that conclusion. But here we go. This is where I say, when you add stress to an already bad situation, and it's coming from law enforcement, it's coming from people that are supposed to protect and serve, this is horrible. This is terrible to allow the families to live in limbo about their loved one. And this is what I don't like about the whole thing. These families are left hanging by law enforcement that made claims, oh, no, it's nothing going on here. It's nothing. It's nothing happening here. Keep it moving. No, they can't. They can't keep it moving because, like I said, you raise an eyebrow every time there's a death and you know that the family member was not in a space where, okay, it's not making sense because they was just full of life. Then they raise an eyebrow and it's up to the law enforcement or the detectives to make sure, okay, this is what we have. We don't see that it's a problem here. Look, have a family member, a close family member, look at it, and boom, you don't have this problem. And this is where I say, this is where the mistrust comes in when it comes to law enforcement due to things like this, due to situations like this. Why do I have to jump ropes? Why do I got to go through the ropes, do an open record request when you got the video right there? That's crazy. Like, okay, well, let me get an open records request. It's going to take God knows how long to get the video, and we still got to go through a funeral process. We still got to go through all of this grieving, not even knowing what's really going on. That's just adding trauma and stress to not only the family, now the community got trauma and stress going on because they wondering what's going on, because now the family is reaching out to the community, is on the news, and now I got to get involved because they ain't got no answers. It could all be so simple. Let them see the video. Let these families get closure. If you're saying something and you got video and you're telling them it was no foul play and you're sure of it and you have something, it would only make sense to allow the family to understand what truly happened so they can move on. Hey, look, when we come back, we'll have more conversation, Truth Nation. Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
And that's Tory Lowe bringing you all the action and all the smoke. This is the Tory Lowe Show on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Yeah. I came from the curb where the gutters speak fluent pain. Rusty hydras leak memories every time it rained. No cable in the crib, we just stared at the ceiling stains. Plotting on a lick while the sirens play musical chairs again. Grams in the cereal box, razor blade calendar. I was weighing out my future while my teachers used to fail me. Mama worked two shifts till the light stayed amateur. So I practiced on a scale till the numbers acted flattering. First flip was a 20, turned it to a clean deuce. By Friday I was neck deep in a pair of new boots.
101, Sammy the Truth, Tory Lowe, Tory Lowe Show. A Wisconsin homeowner sues USAA after insurance reverses flood claim denial. We got video of this if you're watching as we broadcast live. Let's listen.
For me, that was, I was distraught.
3 decades worth of collector's items, movies, and memories gone.
We tried to handle it, you know, like, okay, well, we'll call insurance and we'll look for guidance. Mm-hmm. And that guidance never happened.
When Chris Tabor moved into his New Berlin home 10 years ago, he specifically had sump pump failure coverage built into his homeowner's insurance. In August, along with thousands of other Wisconsinites,
I believe our sump pump backed up because of the storm water going in the drain, and I think it just got overwhelmed.
Okay.
But yeah, it was that was the only reason we had water.
But that was covered, to your understanding.
That, to my understanding, it was covered. Yeah, and I felt safe.
Safe until USAA denied Chris's $10,000 insurance claim without ever sending an adjuster.
My heart just sank when we got that.
Chris hired insurance attorney Justin Wallace, who sent this letter to USAA stating his representation. In a matter of days,
USAA simply turned around and said, "We are going to pay this claim."
When you got that email, what was your reaction to that?
It's honestly a disappointing feeling. Like, I'm happy that I got a good result for Mr. Tabor, but it's sad to know that there are, you know, thousands of people who are probably getting these same denial letters.
Denial letters, Justin says, most customers accept, walk away from, and then never get paid. Now, Chris is suing USAA to get his attorney's fees paid for. We called and emailed the attorney on this case and USAA to ask why it took Chris hiring an attorney to get his claim paid.
Wow.
A spokesperson for USAA wouldn't answer my direct questions and said in a statement that they can't discuss the specifics of any individual claim.
I think a lot of people's frustration is that they feel taken. They feel like suckers and chumps for doing everything they're supposed to.
Hey, all right. And I've been talking about this. You got to make sure that you understand what's on your policy. And I tell you, many times they do deny claims. And then he went and got an attorney, you know. And, you know, attorney fees is not it's not cheap. But now he's going back to get the attorney fees paid for. But I'll say this, like, so many people don't read their insurance when they get the insurance. You got to be very specific in what you want for insurance. You can't just say, okay, I got this plan, and just go ahead and sign off, or I got house insurance. No, you got to have that flood insurance. You got to have what he had. He had made sure that he had the right kind of insurance just in case there was a flood. He got denied, had to go take it, you know, to the next level with an attorney. Oh, you know what? Got the letter from the attorney. Oh, you know what? We going to pay this. That's crazy work. But this happens all the time. This happens all the time. This is not, I mean, he was fortunate enough to get an attorney. Some people don't got, some attorneys, just to even get them on your team, you got to have a $3,000 to put down on it. This is, and it's a lot of people that during these floods got denied. But they, you know, you got to make sure the language is straight. I just got some insurance. And like I said, I went over with a fine tooth comb and let my attorney look at before I signed it. Now I won't even sign anything without somebody in the legal practice looking over and making sure that it's an A1. Go right ahead, Andrew.
Is ChatGPT going to take that job?
ChatGPT, I guess they say it does a great job. But I think that right now, for a lot of people, they are using ChatGPT. But I think that there's still some hiccups. I think that there's still some hiccups with ChatGPT or, you know, any type of a service. They're only gathering information that they're getting off of being online. But as time goes by, I think that as it gets more, we're only looking at the tip of the iceberg with a lot of this AI and ChatGPT. I think that eventually it'll have everything lined up to where you can actually go to ChatGPT and get actually exact or more accurate information when it comes to legal stuff, legal steps. Also, I want to talk about this story. Once again, there is protests in Milwaukee, Wisconsin with ICE. They're saying that there's going to be a new ICE facility. There's continued protests at the current location. A lot of people, you know, they're saying, hey, ICE is they want to live in they don't want to have the paperwork straight. I mean, they don't want to, you know, they want to live and be able to develop. But I'll say this, I wish and I want people to live and develop. But ICE is a reason for, you know, when you have people coming in without no documentation, it's a reason to try to get everybody in a space where, okay, we can hold them accountable. If you got people running in and out of the country and they ain't got no documentation, you can't track them, and something bad happens, then okay, you know, It's a problem. It's a problem. And if they, and if it's laws that say you shouldn't be here in a certain way, then that's the law. Now, y'all want me to go after Lil Ray Ray and them for breaking the law? And many times on this show, we have to confront different ideas of people breaking the law, harming innocent life, doing X, Y, and Z. And I don't see this as no different. I don't see it as no different. I say throw them all, dunk them in the trash to me. Yeah, people always want to add some extra to people. Oh, I see it this way. No, it's that's why the law was written. Okay? Well, we got video of this. People are not too happy about this. ICE prepares the new facility, I guess. The protest is going on. We got audio on this. Let's listen.
ICE out of this entire state that we love so dearly.
Fighting ICE.
Immigrants are welcome here.
And temperatures below freezing. Roughly 100 protesters gathered outside the U.S. Homeland Security building in Milwaukee.
ICE is not welcome in Wisconsin.
Others welcome ICE's work.
To remove people who do not belong here, who have broken the law to come here.
The federal government leased this building at Knapp and Broadway since 1999. In 2023, MSOE bought it. The school says before then, the federal government said it was going to leave within months, but ended up staying. And MSOE says federal law requires the school allow the federal government to stay. Something some students aren't happy with.
It's really important for MSOE to recognize that they inherited this lease. They chose to accept this building where they knew ICE was conducting enforcement and removal operations out of it.
ICE is planning a move to Milwaukee's northwest side. Fox 6 obtained city records revealing the city approved occupancy for ICE. Other records Fox 6 obtained show the proposed security fence with black privacy slats. The fence application says it'll be 8 feet tall and have anti-climb mesh. Other city documents Fox 6 first obtained in January say the federal government will use the space for processing of immigrants. It says that's for non-detained people checking in, as well as for processing detainees heading to detention facilities. Back in January, ICE said there were no plans to use the new space for detention. In the trove of city records, Fox 6 learned the building might not just house ICE. City records also reveal the city approved a suite remodel here for the VA.
Okay. Sound like a lot of construction going on over there. They just threw that in there at the end. I may have to look into that. They about to build a new VA over there or something like that alongside the ICE center. A VA and I. Hey. They gonna house the old veterans over there and ICE? That's with the Taco Bell KFC combo. I don't know. It's just wild to hear that. I'm gonna try to look into this VA thing. But when I was in Minnesota, there was a huge ICE immigrant situation going on because many companies, they use a lot of people that are undocumented, that what they used to, you know, as far as cheap labor. And then, you know, ICE would come and try to raid a lot of the companies because they had a lot of undocumented people. But what I found out was, you know, a lot of those people, they were being taken advantage of in the country without any legal documentation. And it was a bad situation that took place where one of the younger girls that had no documentation was being raped. And I tried, and they called me to help. And I tried to call the police, and they was like, I can't call the police because these people are not supposed to be here. So I had to go in and finagle a couple different ways to try to resolve the situation. But I walked away from that whole situation thinking, how are you somewhere and you don't have any rights? That's dangerous. It's kind of like having a drug house, having a bunch of illegal drugs in it, and then somebody come and rob you and you can't even call the police. You can't get no help. You just got to take what they doing to you. That's a tough situation to put yourself in. All right. Well, when we come back, we're at a pop culture report. Truth Nation, stay locked in.
You are listening to The Tory Lowe Show on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
This is the Tory Lowe Show on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
One of one, seven the truth, Tory Lowe Show. Pop Culture Report brought to you by GP.
What it do?
Truth Friday. Nation Insider. GP.
What's happening?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling good. It's always another good day when I get to open my eyes. That's how I feel right now.
Hey, I'm still going off to the off the Packers win.
You still on a high?
Yeah, I'm still feeling good. I love it when I beat the Vikings. I love it when the Packers beat the Bears. And if we did both, I'm feeling good right now.
They get a chance to do it again the same month. So hopefully, hopefully they make that happen. So
I'm feeling powerful.
I hope you're feeling powerful. We got to stay powerful. The Packers are looking powerful, too. But, you know, today, I don't really know how to kind of go about this one. But obviously, Steve the Stoner, beloved Milwaukee.
Steve the Stoner.
Yeah, I don't know what you want to call him. Figure, entertainer, artist.
I think he's more of a social media entertainer.
I feel like he's the guy you know in the hood that does a little bit of everything.
He's like the uncle. They call him Unc.
Basically, we'll call him Unc. Yeah, so Unc Steve the Stoner, he's basically going viral right now. I know we had some snow over the past weekend, and Steve the Stoner took it, you know, upon himself to kind of go out in the road and kind of provide a little bit of entertainment. And so I'll let Andrew kind of cue the video up. But basically, Chris Brown kind of thought, you know, somebody needs to stop Steve the
Chris
Stoner.
Well, Chris Brown was using his one move with the leg, like at his concert. So they watching Steve the Stoner because everybody, Lizzo, They took the leg thing that he was doing, so they always checking on him to see what he got next.
Now, they always watching Milwaukee. Right. They always got their eyes on Milwaukee, but I'll let Andrew kind of cue the video up so people get an idea of what he had going on. Pick up your clothes, I had them folded. Leave me at the
door, it's still open. Okay, so he's doing this little bop in the street. And I think that at the end he does a little like twerk shimmy, like
I don't know,
like a little twerk pop.
Take bro phone.
He said somebody got to take his phone.
Oh my God! I don't know what's up with Steve the Stoner. Steve the Stoner, he finds a way to stay relevant and stay popping. He has. I know he had the free concert thing that kind of, you know, took over the summer. He was here at Third Street Market Hall, I think, one day after we ended work.
The Luda, yeah.
Right. I think he took over the UWM Student Center one time as well. I think he performed in front of the precinct, outside where I think they had, whether it was intake or something like that. Mm-hmm. He finds a way to stay relevant. He also popped up on Casa Knott's, you know, stream.
Because of his dance, the dance that he was doing. I think that right now he's Milwaukee hip-hop. I call it hip hop because it's not gangster music.
Right.
What is being thrown out there. Plus, Milwaukee made the Rolling Stone for having the most influence on TikTok. So Milwaukee has found a way through social media to affect the world. And our dances are extremely popular. It kind of reminds me when New York started breakdancing.
Right.
Like it's like we hit the reset button. But a lot of the dance has got a little zest on it. It's got a little zest.
It got some stank
on it. It's a little zest on it. Sometimes a lot of people look at that and be like, it's good dancing, but it got a little, it's kind of zesty almost, a little bit of zest on it. And that's what Chris Brown was talking about, that little twerk and that little shimmy at the end with the twerk. And he just started laughing, said somebody needed to take his phone.
Yeah, I didn't know.
A lot of people, this is not the first time Steve the Stoner was, a lot of what he did to drop down to get your eagle on one of the videos. A lot of people, he's made people used to his style now. But a lot of people have always kind of looked at a lot of the things in a way where, okay, what is that? You know, it kind of crosses the boundary between masculine and feminine a little bit.
I don't want to say it's zesty. I think, as speaking for myself, obviously, here, I'm not the best dancer in the world. I can't emulate and I can't replicate any of the stuff that he kind of does, whether it's kind of like pop locking and shuffling, and I don't know what you want to kind of call it.
They saying it's sus.
I mean, I think
a lot of people play on that.
I think it just looked crazy because he started twerking and shaking and he just stepped off the camera. Why was that the last move you did?
Because
kind of
I think that right now it's a formula. Like it's to be in that mid ground between zest and sus. And it's always people, you know, inquisitive about, oh, what's that? Because, you know, he did this whole routine. But Chris Brown It was what he was really emphasizing was the last part.
No, yeah, for sure. But I think when we talk about, again, Milwaukee as a whole in the hip hop kind of scene, a lot of people have a lot of eyes on it because it's so, I don't want to say abstract or kind of different, but there's just something that you can't replicate here in Milwaukee. Obviously, Steve the Stoner had Uptown Downtown. There's people like Chicken
and he can rap.
And absolutely.
Let me tell you something. He can rap. He got a song where he does, where he's talking to himself. Steve the Stoner can rap.
Are we talking about Fell Off, Bounce Back?
It's a song that it's him looking in the mirror, talk, and he's rapping to. It's kind of like a duality,
like a parody,
like T.I.
Right.
You
know, okay.
Kind of like that. Mm-hmm. So he got songs that fall in that space where he's rapping to himself, the good side and the bad side, the side that got sense and the side that don't got no sense.
Right.
He can rap.
Absolutely.
I've watched those. I mean, I looked on a lot of his things that he have done. But, you know, he knows how to entertain, too. So he got into the entertainment, the more shock value, the more dance routine type ideas as well.
Yeah, I know. I know Chris Brown was trying to kind of make light of it or make a joke of it. But we actually really do need to give Steve the Stoner his flowers. I think he has kind of captured what Milwaukee kind of is, whether it's rapping, whether it's dancing, because he's obviously had a bunch of viral challenges. I know he had the Andy, Mac, Jack, Tina thing. He had Uptown Downtown, which obviously the whole world took over, and he got the link up with a bunch of different celebrities and kind of spread that influence and kind of that creativity. Right. And it kind of, you know, led the way for
Uptown,
other people.
Uptown Downtown.
Right. And there's other people that came behind it. There's Big Frank, there's mm-hmm. Maya P, there's Chicken P. There's a lot of other rappers that are kind of getting on.
I think Big Frank came before Steve the Stoner. I think they got it popping with their dances before mm-hmm. Steve.
Right.
I think that Big Frank and JP kind of opened up a lot of the gates. A lot of that low end, a lot of those dances, Maya P. There's a lot of Milwaukee artists that's putting out dance moves. And to me, this is the culture. Like, it's kind of like breakdancing, but it's not. They ain't spinning on the cardboard on their head. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's just creative, wily type antic moves that people like.
I mean, we didn't even talk about the other one. I don't know if Andrew's kind of seen this one, but there's the one where they kind of like, they do the thing where they turn around and they pat. And we'll talk about that one another time. We got to get
there
a video.
We go.
You got to see this video to really believe what the dance is. But just for someone, again, that's, you know, super active on social media, these are the things that I see on my page all the time because people like to parody it or they like to replicate it. Mm-hmm. And they want to see it kind of grow and kind of expand. I think that's why, you know, or that's what we're kind of seeing here with, you know, Steve the Stoner. Steve the Stoner, again, has found a way to stay relevant and kind of turn it into just his own thing. He's gotten to do a lot of different things. I'm not sure if he was down at Summerfest this year or whatever, but he's gotten to do a lot of performances, got a lot of kind of interviews and everything that's kind of spawned off of it. And it's just beautiful to see the culture kind of, you know, bounce around from corner to corner, whether it be east to west or south or north. Everybody's kind of having their moment. We talk about how New York had the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. Atlanta kind of took over, you know, early 2010s. And it seems like Milwaukee is at the forefront of the music kind of, you know, situation right now.
Well, I always say the last shall be first. And Milwaukee is probably the last majority black city to get in the game the way it's happening right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Chicago, New York, and a lot of, you know, other townships that had majority black have popped out, did they thing. I think Milwaukee kind of got it on the back end, mm-hmm. where we always had talent. We always had people behind the scenes, or even if they was in front, a lot of people wasn't really claiming that they was from Milwaukee, and you thought that they was from Atlanta or somewhere, but mm-hmm. really they was from Milwaukee. K-Camp, a lot of those, Tank.
Right, first person that came to mind.
Yeah, so a lot of, I guess it wasn't popular to say you was from Milwaukee, but now it's Milwaukee. And I think that a lot of the energy with the Bucks, a lot of the energy now with the Packers, right. Now with the dancing and stuff like that, I think Milwaukee is just the tip of the iceberg of what we're seeing now with people investigating what is really here and what is really going on with a lot of the talent right here in the city.
No, yeah, I tell people all the time, again, me coming from New York, a lot of people have Milwaukee misconstrued. It's a hidden gem, and any place where you live is what you make it. But there's a lot of different things going on in Milwaukee, whether it's culture, the expansion, we're building properties and hotels and other stuff like that. They're mm-hmm. trying to make Milwaukee a hub, and it obviously already is a hub for art, entertainment,
right.
sports, and everything else
like
that.
And a lot of those basketball players, they're starting to tell stories about being in Milwaukee.
Right.
A lot of people, even the food critic, the most famous food critic, I think, Keith Lee.
Okay,
he said Milwaukee got some good food. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people just coming to Milwaukee because it's untapped. and they can get more content because it's untapped.
Yeah, I've had a bunch of people, you know, that I've known too as well come here and try to figure out, you know, what is what, who's what, or who run kind of runs this scene. Obviously, mm-hmm. there's the big scene with all the DJs and all the club performances and everything like that. Mm-hmm. There's the artists. There's fashion as well. Fashion is kind of something that's very underappreciated in here, you know, here in Milwaukee. We've obviously got big brands like Unfinished Legacy and stuff like that, who we get to see those young guys right. doing their thing and kind of they branch off and go spread their influence to the East Coast and the West Coast.
And the political scene has always been dominated. Mm-hmm. From out of Milwaukee as well, you know, and the advocacy scene in Milwaukee is on the top level as well. Like Milwaukee kind of came last, but we here now.
But they're going to do it the biggest. That was, hey, they're going to do it the biggest.
We here now. So I tell people, I'd be laughing because we all got our spaces, even the comedy, the comedians, the artists, the activists, everybody's like, they are developing into a whole culture that the world is watching right now.
Yeah, I hope anyone, again, that you know might be listening that's not in Milwaukee, again, come here, give it a try, see all that Milwaukee has to offer and what it presents. Again, Steve the Stoner obviously is having his moment. He's had plenty of moments prior. I'm not, or I wouldn't be surprised if this turns into a viral challenge. I bet money you see this all over your feeds for the next month right. or so, because it's obviously the winter time. So maybe.
And with the last bit of Sprite at the end, with the little
splash of some zest on it, I guess. But shout out to Steve the Stoner and everybody else doing their thing here in Milwaukee, man. We support, we love everybody that's doing their thing, that's creative and
dope artists.
Right, exactly. Shout out another person too. I got the link up with Wave Chappelle as well, doing his thing.
Wave Chappelle. Right.
And we've seen him in the building a couple times too.
I love when he come in to the studio. Wave is first class when it comes to freestyle. Three bars.
He's doing a 31 days freestyle. Yeah,
I'm trying to tell you.
I started following him on social media. He's doing his thing too. So again, shout out to everybody doing their thing. It's out there hustling, grinding like, you know, Milwaukeeans or native Milwaukeeans do. So,
I love it.
I love it too.
Hey, look, when we come back, we'll have more Pop Culture Report with GP. Truth Nation, stay locked in.
You are listening to The Tory Lowe Show on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. This is the Tory Lowe Show on 101.7 the Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
The Truth. Tory Lowe Show, Pop Culture Report, brought to you by GP.
What it do?
GP, it's time for that weigh-in.
Oh.
It's time for that weigh-in. Andrew got the scale.
It's time for the weigh-in?
It's time for the weigh-in.
Oh,
Andrew
God.
Bringing in the
oh,
scale.
Oh, my God.
All right, so for those that are listening, for those that are listening, there was a contest at the beginning of November that GP and Andrew were going to, who can lose the most weight?
I tried to duck out on this one, I ain't gonna lie.
And I think GP been kind of ducking out, and the winner would get $100.
This ain't even right.
No, it's right.
I got clothes on, I got my shoes.
It's December 9th.
I got jewelry, it's gonna add to it. I'm not gonna know if I lost no real weight or not.
Andrew got his hat on, he got that Brewers hat on, his glasses on. Y'all about the same.
Got Andrew
got
to step on first. Is Andrew going to step on first?
I already did mine.
He already. Okay,
now bring the scale in here. Now where the scale at?
When we going to get you? It's right by my feet. It's right by my feet.
Okay, so
jump on there.
I got to take shoes off. How we doing this? How we?
I was fully clothed.
Oh my God!
Fully clothed with the shoes on.
All right.
Did y'all weigh in fully clothed with the shoes on?
I did not weigh in fully clothed.
We could have done this December 1st, and
Hold
you could have picked however
minute.
You wanted to do
okay,
it.
Okay, so you're going to have to step on the scale, too, Andrew.
I'll do it again, yeah.
I'm going to just say this before I step on the scale.
You got to step on the scale, because we don't know. We got to be official.
Hold on. Tell them the story about yesterday, GP.
What happened? Oh, damn. All right, so boom. So somebody apparently from, I think, next door or whatever, right, they ordered some Wendy's, and it just so happened to, you know, waddle over this way.
Right.
I think somebody put the wrong address. And so Andrew, you know, being the gatekeeper that he is, he talked me into it. He kind of finessed me. He was like, you know, damn, that Wendy's been sitting there for probably an hour or so. It'd be a shame if nobody
if it went to waste.
Yeah, these spicy nuggets and that chicken sandwich. So he tried to set me up. He knew what he was doing. He wanted me to eat that so it could add a couple, like 2 or 3 pounds to this today. And that's why they brought the scale in. Adul, I saw the scale on Adul's desk too. I'm going to get on the Adul when I get back upstairs. But I'm going to step on the scale because I'm a fair sport. So
okay, yeah.
I'm going to step on the scale.
He won his $100. All right, come on, Andrew.
Come in there.
Come in here. We need the raw. All right, if y'all watch this rebroadcast live, we got the scale. GP is on the scale. What is the official total?
I got 269.
269?
I got 269.
Okay, come on, Andrew. Here we go. Look, he took the camera off. Look.
I got 252?
What did you start at?
I started at 255.
What? We both ain't do nothing.
Hold on. I was supposed to do this on December 1st. So I've been like, all right, I guess we're not going to do this. So I've been going back to my normal diet. Now, GP, when were we supposed to weigh in?
I'm going to say, was it October 31st or November 1st?
All right, but it seemed like y'all still at the same spot.
Oh, no, December, my bad, December 1st.
How much did you weigh in there?
I was 256, I think, when I weighed in.
You actually...
So he gained weight, Corey, he gained weight. Corey.
How did you gain weight?
They say the camera add 10 pounds to you.
Oh, wow.
I talked to a dude about this already upstairs. I'm willing to double the price, and we're going to double up.
We double up?
No, I mean... 4 pounds. What are we doing? You probably sweat that out last night.
I'm just saying.
Did you
crazy.
Eat the Wendy's?
I didn't eat Wendy's.
No, I destroyed that Wendy's. That was my dinner last
night. That was that extra.
I had tacos after that as well. It wasn't a pretty night. I blame Andrew, though. Andrew set the trap. I bet money Andrew ordered it himself. Andrew's name was probably Mildred.
The thing that started this whole thing was the celebrity basketball game. And we watched the struggle that GP was on defense.
How do you go through a weight loss challenge and gain weight? That don't make no sense. You reckless. You reckless.
I told the dude, I said this wasn't fair. Dude put the pressure on me. A dude put the squeeze on me.
Oh, wow.
But you know what? If Andrew is willing to make this bet, I will put up $200 of my own money, and I will bet that I get this
$200.
Right, that I get this right
for
by
your
January 1st.
You can't do this again. You'll gain more weight.
No.
Wow.
I like my odds. It can't get no worse than this.
That's diabolical.
We need to get the heart disease people in here.
All I know is my coach is happy with my performance. I played good defense, coach, didn't I?
Oh, yeah. You was out there with the defense.
That's all that matters. We were out there for a bigger cause than the win.
A duel.
Got to run it back. Those totals aren't good enough.
Oh, my God.
Totals are not good enough. Andrew won.
Andrew didn't perform very well.
But he won. Whoever lost the most weight.
So, all right, so is a duel paying
Andrew out of his money? Now, dude coming down here to stretch it out because he got to give up $100.
I'm trying to make good on his investment.
He's trying to hold on. He's trying to hold on to that 100.
I'm willing to put up 200 of my own money. I will put up 200 that I lose more weight than Andrew. And I'm at a deficit at this point now. He got 9 more pounds on me. I gained 9 pounds and he lost 4. So now I'm at a bigger deficit.
You gained 9 pounds?
I'm doing bad math here. Oh, 14 pounds. My bad.
Wow.
14.
You gained 14 pounds?
We had Thanksgiving and everything, too. What are we talking about?
Wow.
I deserve this money based solely on that.
I thought this was a body positive kind of workplace.
You gained 14 pounds.
I'm going to go talk to Lisa.
Here we go. That is wild. That's crazy work.
It is crazy. I still look good, though. That's the crazy part.
I mean, I ain't saying nothing about the looks. I'm just talking about the challenge.
Hey, man. I tried. I didn't try hard enough. That's how I'm seeing
Give Andrew his money. Not really a city girl. He won $100 fair and square.
Did a duel pay him?
Did you get paid? Oh, Adul came in and didn't give you the 100.
Adul said that I need to lose, like, more weight.
No,
exactly.
That wasn't the deal.
That's not the deal. I think the sponsor of this challenge is not pleased with either of the participants. I think we both let Adul down a little bit.
Yo, if we were all into January 2026, you put on 28 pounds.
28 is crazy.
You gained 14 last month.
I got faith in myself now, though. Once I really lock in, you see me. I got my water bottle popping. I be eating my chicken, my Brussels sprouts, my rice,
Christmas tree cookies. You know the ham. Yeah,
you ain't see me eat no cookies yesterday.
Oh wow, yeah, this is a mess. This has got to be the worst weight loss challenge I ever experienced.
This is the biggest loser. The truth. The dish.
And nobody really lost
this. This is like the worst. I've never heard a weight loss challenge go. I'm gonna write and see if this got to be the worst weight loss challenge.
Look, can we round down though? Because I got
y'all
on, like,
had a month,
but I got on 5 pounds of clothes right now.
He just weighed in. He said he started out at 255.
Right.
He down to 252.
No, I lied.
He just didn't eat breakfast today.
Boy, I lied. 262 was my original weight, and we got it in the text.
Okay.
So I lost like 10 pounds, and he gained 14.
Okay, well, you
that's a 34 pound difference.
I was going off of the information that I was given.
I'm going to do myself my due diligence here. I got on about 5 or 6 pounds of clothes.
You don't have that much jewelry.
So I weigh 269. So I'm going to say I'm a safe 262 right now. So I still gained about 7 pounds. But.
Oh, wow.
But again.
Here we go. Well.
From 262 to 255, look, Andrew's going
to I hope
aware.
Everybody listening sees just how narcissistic Andrew is. Andrew is controlling everything from behind the board. You giving yourself a round of applause. That's crazy.
This is crazy. I'm going to say this. I think this weight loss, y'all need a rematch. I think y'all need to run it back.
We need better stipulations because we didn't have good enough rules last time, apparently.
Took 9 days to weigh in.
I didn't have a scale. I didn't know people just had those ready on at the go.
I went to Walgreens today.
Exactly. You didn't have a scale. So where did you weigh in the last time?
I went over. Same place you did. You went to the same place to weigh in.
I respect that.
Are y'all going to run it back double or nothing?
I got the money. I'll put it up.
He's putting up 200
I'll
bucks.
I'll put 200 up myself.
Well, you should get 300 out of this.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
Because you got a duel with the 100, and then now you got an extra 200.
I think a duel didn't have the money in the first place. I think a duel no,
had the money.
To work out.
Well, you didn't get paid. He came here and didn't drop that 100. He's supposed to drop it once you won. He didn't drop it.
Tori, you were my weight loss coach during this whole thing, too.
I'm just saying, but I didn't. I'm not up to you getting robbed out of your 100.
So what was the biggest piece of advice Tori gave you on your weight loss journey?
He said, put down that piece of pizza.
Don't eat that Wendy's that came in.
Yeah, no, he came by yesterday and said, it smells pretty good. You know what smells better? 100 bucks.
That's love. That's love. See, I didn't have a coach. It was just me out here doing my own
fat
thing.
Asses. You gained 14 pounds on a challenge. You went the wrong way.
Hey, man. Y'all might as well bring. Y'all might as well get Ken in here. Y'all might as well get Sherwin in here. Who else y'all want?
I mean, that's crazy. When I heard you, and then this guy. Oh, you! I said both of y'all don't look like y'all did nothing. He said, I lost 15 pounds.
Bro, the weigh-in was crazy.
No, you know the infomercials that they play 3-4 in the morning. I took this pill and I lost 25 pounds, and they got the. That was Andrew. Andrew had on his gray school jeans. And he was like,
you may need to get some ashwagandha gummies. All right.
Oh, all right.
We come back, Drew Nation. We'll have more conversations. Stay locked in.